you know, because like there's a lot of people out there that definitely are being like, oh man, why would you like turn such a beautiful piece of glass you made and then make it into a pipe? And it's like, dude, why wouldn't you? That's like there's on so many, it's so many different things, but on one level that's just fun for me, because if I can smoke it, I'm definitely want to try to make it. On a more philosophical level, it's cool. It's almost rebellious too. It's kind of like a cool like art shit to do. Not that I think I'm like some artist or something, or like putting myself on that type of pedestal, but like it just seems like a fucking, it's like spray painting the side of like a building kind of thing. It's like that, but different. It's like, I'm going to take this thing that was made for making this something for a very specific purpose, and I'm going to make it like counterculture. I'm going to make it like a black sheep, and I'm going to have it like dressed in this traditional thing, like as a perfume bottle. Like, I don't know. Either way, I'm having fun and the terps are good, so that's all that really matters. That and being responsible and taking care of your family. But, you know, hash two. All right, real quick while that's cooling down. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the What's Up, Everybody podcast. On today's episode, we have a glass-heavy episode. We're going to be looking at the Chaka collabs along with some of the Samson collabs. I'm going to be talking about function, the overall build, and just like kind of my experience working with them. And yeah, it's going to be a very glass-heavy episode. I'm sure I'll go on some rants here and there about other stuff, because there's some really cool things about how some of these pieces were made, both historically and just my own personal experience making them. But first, you know, we got to take a little derp before we get this going, so that way I'm good and confused. You know, wouldn't want this to go smooth, and not at all. Already my brain feels like it's barely working. This might even help. Oh no. That was a little aggressive. That was a little aggressive for the first one, I think. But sometimes you can't pick how you start it. Whoa, that was really aggressive to start this. All right. Either way, let's look at the Chaka collabs first. Like I said, heavy glass episode. As far as I've been well. I've been smoking copious amounts of hash, as you can see. Still doing that. We got a Sunday sale this Sunday coming up. We're going to have a couple collabs on there. We're going to have some new solo stuff. A couple Puffco tops. A nice, like, variety drop. Not a huge drop, though, but definitely a lot of awesome variety. Most of these Chaka collabs have been scooped, if not all of them. I think this is the only one that the invoice hasn't been paid for, but I think there's someone that might be scooping it. If not, I'll put it on the sale if they don't pay for it by Sunday. But all the other ones have been scooped. And the Samsons I just finished, so those will definitely be on the drop. And I'll talk about those. But let's look at the Chaka collabs first. Whoa. First of all, whoa. This one right here was the first one we made when Chaka came to the shop. And the last time I worked with Chaka was 2000, I think in 21. It was about 3 years ago, like the end of 2021. It was like fall, winter time 2021. So it had been a while. I mean, fucking time flies. So he hadn't been to the new shop yet. Last time we worked together, he was working in my home studio. And it was just really cool to catch up with him and just for him to see my progression, not only as an artist, but with my business. And to bring him in here and like learn from him and just like build some pieces with him. This first one was a really cool build because I was doing one of my Bloop RBRs because he wanted to do an ice cube perk. So if you look in the bottom here, there is like this big ice cube like inside the actual base of the piece. And because of the shape of the ice cube and the perk, I was like, for this to function really well and for the ice cube not to affect so much the feel of the shred of the piece, I want to do one of my blue perks because this disc above the ice cube kind of takes over the feeling of the piece regardless of what's below it. So I was like, as long as I can get good airflow coming out of that cube, the blue perk will regulate, like that disc will regulate the flow and how like shreddy it feels and like the overall function. So we went with the blue Barbie R. What's different about this one, because the blue Barbie R's inherently are more skinny base and they're taller, like a 14 mil. So what I did with this one, because I haven't done too many blue Barbie R's, like I've only, like the two of them are in my collection. There's a couple of them out there in like private collections. But I put a flared foot, not a flared foot, a Maria foot on this one. So it's extra thick, squished foot. And there's a couple reasons I did the foot on the base of this piece. One, for stability. But also, too, when I put this square neck on here and made this square neck, I was like, I need some balance in the base. I need Chaka to be able to carve into some of that rich ghost white so that the neck flows with the bottom of the piece. So the neck wasn't so lonely up here. Because if it didn't have this like foot on it and it was just blue to the white to blue again, I just feel like the flow, even though the perk is the same color, but the perk is pulled down and like a little thinner. So it's like more like cooked and you don't have as much of that milky opalescence in it. When you do these like thicker sections and like push the glass together and make square, like this neck is a square neck. This is my first square, like bigger square neck connected to like two circular sections and having it flow in there where like everything's still circular, everything's still square on the neck. Like that's like probably my favorite part of the entire rig is the neck, just because from a manufacturing and artist standpoint, that is a challenge all in itself to like just pull this little section off. It sounds silly. And honestly, there's people out there that would probably be like, that's easy, I can do that. But for me, that was something that I was proud of myself. I was stoked. I was like, wow, that came out really sick. And the square neck is so subtle that unless I really show it to you, people aren't picking up on it that square. They're just like, oh, it's just like a regular RBR neck. I'm like, no, look at this, this is square. And then Chaka carved it because it was square. And then I gave it to him and then it's obviously still square. But then he put all that texture into flow with the base. And I was just like, oh my God, look at that fucking like icy square neck. And just the way these colors flow together. This is Marina with Ghost. Just a super rich colorway. And then we did the ice cube on the bottom of the drain right here too. And I installed it so it's like the same, going the same direction as the perk. So there's like flow to it. And then also on the back here, we have a little Millie that Chaka made in shop that you're probably not gonna be able to see in this, but you'll see it on the nice photos from Borovision. It's an RBR Millie made with his Blizzard Tech. So all the marbles, because each one of these pieces comes with a slurper set, the slurper marbles, all Blizzard Tech, and in the middle is an RBR Millie made by Chaka. We have some more cool stuff coming up with him that's not, it's not like this series, it's something totally different, but like Chaka's a super, super talented glassblower that has a lot of different ideas. He's much more than the Lake Ice or the Blizzard Tech. He's got like a lot of cool things he's able to do. So I'm excited to share some of the other projects we have coming up for a winter drop. But yeah, this piece is just a function machine. The way this came out, everything about it. It's like effortless and it just shreds so hard. But it feels like really like sturdy and scientific, like back in the day when I'd buy a fresh like Toro or Sovereignty or something, just like that sturdiness and quality you would feel, you know what I mean? And like I'm still to this day with both those companies. I just haven't bought anything in years. I was just relating to a story from that relates to me from many years ago when I was buying a lot of glass as a consumer and less of a artist. So, but yeah, this piece came out super sick. I'm just stoked on it. It's definitely Bear Mountain Studios RBR-esque, but it has like a couple little different flows to it, make it unique. And that it's a bloop RBR too, like it's just all that function. Up next is this. It was supposed to be a nano halo, but then it ended up turning into a micro. So the nanos are the smallest, the micros are a little bigger, then there's mini, then there's just regular size, the standard. But all the 10 mils have variation of sizes because I can make stuff really small or I can make it a little bit bigger and more like of a daily driver, because even though my tiny stuff's super functional, it's like still like there's a balance of too big and too small. And then there's something right in the middle that's just like perfect. The aesthetic of how it fits in your home, how it fits in your hand, just everyday life shit. The little tiny stuff is really fun and novelty because it's so silly. Look how big of a dab I'm taking through this tiny rig. And then the big stuff is fun and novelty because it's like, look at this giant rig I'm smoking. But there is this like perfect size area where people who want something as part of their aesthetic of their home, something they're smoking all the time. And this is, I would say, on like right in that like size area from like on, and on the smaller end. Like any smaller than this, I think like it gets like more like fun and Turpcan and novelty. Like then there's sizes that are definitely like just overall the amount of water they hold is perfect. Like, because even though the little rigs hold water and spin the water, do all the thing, there's a certain level of water I like in a piece, a feel that you really can't get out of a really tiny piece. Again, I smoke the nanos and the fucking, I have a 5 mil pocket RBR smoke like every week too. Like I smoke all the different rigs because when you're smoking as much hash as me, I like variety. I like to try all the different things. And for me, I like to go back and smoke old projects and see and like, you know, try to rediscover like, oh, I need to bring this back and this back. Cause it's like, now I've been doing this long enough, I can almost go back into my memory or catalog of pieces I physically have and be like, oh, what do we need to bring back and refine? Like, what's the next thing? Or like, what's the new thing we need to build maybe off a different platform that I used to do? Or I don't know. It's fun. But yeah, this is a little Halo RBR here with the double diffuse perk. It's got Hyacinth square mouthpiece. This is the first square mouthpiece RBR. This thing feels like you're hitting like an old school acrylic or bone dry pipe, but the feel of it's obviously a little shreddy RBR making tornadoes and bubbling, like effortless, but just the feel of it, like, you know, no ditty, but the feel of it in your mouth, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's nice. No ditty. And the overall like weight of this thing too, like, it's funny with these small pieces, how heavy they actually like feel. Like even when I was collabing with Chaka and Samson, they both, because I made a Samson Halo too that's a little bit bigger than the Chaka, and they were both just like, man, like these pieces are like so dense, like just you pack so much glass into them. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude, because that's how you get that colors. And I like when something's heavy too. For me, like, even if I don't know anything about something, like my first thing I'm doing when I'm picking up anything is like, how does it feel like weight wise and sturdiness? Like, is that's how I'm going to judge quality before I know the brand or anything. Cause like, you know, there's something about it when you pick up something that has some weight to it and feels sturdy, you go, okay, this shit can handle some things, dude. Fucking gonna smoke some hash through this. Speaking of heavy and sturdy, this monster right here. Holy cow. This piece was a labor of love. There's a lot of time in this. And the funny thing is, it's just a blue striped RBR. It's a little funky looking, right? No biggie. But that's the thing, like, to the untrained eye, like, this Cavalier might look more expensive or something, or like fancy, you know what I mean? Like, but this color technique in here and then the sculpting on top of it, so much time. So just to go into it a little bit here, there's over 100 lines of color in this piece, and there's over 14 different shades of blue mixed through it. And to have that many different colors and enough of it to stack everything evenly and build up tubing is one thing. That's in Calma work. That's always been a labor of love and tough. The second part of this piece is that all those in Calma sections that had to be stacked up then had to be sleeved in 4 millimeters of clear, because we had to have enough clear layered over the colored lines so that when Chaka went in to carve this piece to make this lake ice beautiful tech, this pattern, this the coolest thing ever to hold. Like, if you can ever hold a lake ice piece, it's like, feels crazy. Especially like, I don't even know, dude. I don't really know what to compare it to. It's just crazy feeling. But we had to put 4 millimeters of clear over it so that Chaka could carve into it without disturbing or distorting the lines beneath it. So already in Calma works a whole thing. Anyone that does it knows it's a whole thing. And to get them like clean and really crispy is a whole thing. It's almost like sacrilegious to think like, I'm going to take all that perfect line work and I'm going to distort it. Like, I'm going to carve into it. Because the thing with Calma work is you want to see how clean and crispy and straight the lines are. That's why we left like just this face a little bit less textured. It's textured on the inside of the halo. The whole edge is textured, but right here, just a little bit on the face, we left it just so like you can see like what the base kind of looks like. but it's still got the clear over it. I mean, it's textured pretty much, just not as heavy. It's still got texture. But then there's like the rest of it's just like heavy texture. But those lines are still straight as fuck. Like when you look at them through the texture, the light and the clear is distorting things. But then you really look and you're like, oh, but the line's still straight. Like I'm seeing the light refracting through the clear and moving. Like basically you're, it truly like up close on, especially on the opaque, like whitish blues and stuff like that. The light will cast a shadow from the top layer of the clear onto the color. So it'll almost look like you're looking into like clouds casted over an ocean. Like it's what it does when you get a nice thick layer of clear and someone carves into it like that. When light passes through it, when there's an opaque color to catch it all behind it, it will cast shadows and shit over. It's very trippy what this thing does with light. So much time, so many hours. Like the man hours are kind of gross on this piece. I had one of my guys, Pat, working like 2 full days cutting and stacking color. And then I had to squish it all down. And then I had Pat do some sleeving too, so that we could get it all done. I sleeved a couple things. He sleeved a couple things. And then I shaped out this whole thing, made the perk custom size for it, so that we didn't lose any lines. We packed every line into it all the way to the, like, the base. Even with the way the perk lined up. The perk lined up perfectly on that last circle. And just, you know, it was meant to be. But, yeah. Just a lot of time between me, Pat, and then, like, I had Mike prepping extra blues. Like, if we were missing a little bit of blue, we're like, damn, we need 3 more lines of this blue in the neck. We would, because even though there's chaos here, there is a bit of a pattern. Like, this is, just everything about this is work. And then we got that far, got the whole thing built after a couple days of prepping. And then I shaped and assembled it all. And then handed it over to Chaka. Well, actually, it was handing Chaka sections. Chaka textured each section, then I assembled it, and then I handed it back to Chaka, and he retextured where I welded it together so that, you know, the whole thing was textured. But, man, just, like, the time, the weight in this thing. I mean, it's a double-thick piece. Like the drain is skinny in there, but it's so thick and heavy, like, yeah. And this fucking halo is crazy. Just everything about it. It's a wild one. That's a wild one. All right. And then, honestly, this piece right here is the last one I'm going to show you guys from the Chaka series. You got to go to my Instagram and look at the video of this, and you'll see what I'm talking about, where I say the light is casting a shadow through the clear onto the base color. Because what this looks like when the sun's hitting it, it looks like waves over water, like in like a pool or something, or maybe like really white sands, like with that blue water over it. Like you see all the wave peaks, because all the points where he does like the carving and has all these like high peak points, those are thicker clear there, so it's casting like a harder shadow, and then it softens out, so you get this crazy shadow that looks like water. I'm telling you, like, go to my Instagram and look at the videos of this Cavalier. And then the carved white neck does the exact same thing, the way it casts shadows onto the white. The way these pieces just feel, I know it's a crazy thing to do a podcast and talk about how something feels, because that's not, you guys can't really experience that, but like, that's probably one of my favorite parts about Chaka's work. And then like, with how thick I've made everything, it's just like, it has a crazy feel to it. These pieces are so heavy. This one has like that big like cab on the front that's like layers of Blizzard Tech with the Bearpaw Opal in it. And then it has encalmos of Blizzard Tech and Star White lippies on it. Then the Star White neck that's a square neck as well, all carved up. Star White joint in there. All the little details, like, no, like, everything's made from scratch. There's no, like, pre-made shit in this. This is, yeah, it's just a lot of time. And just, you know, a lot of people would probably take this much material and make, like, a water piece or something they could get a little bit more money for. But, like, to me, it's like I wanted to see the Ice Cavalier. And like a lot of these bigger artists seem to be about it. They're like, dude, I'm down to do a Cavalier with you. Because this is like, I love collabing on these. Like, I feel like the dry pipes, yeah, not as many people smoke them. They're definitely not as popular. But there's a group of folks out there that like collect these heavily. Like the dries are different. Like they're really cool. Like, they're unique. They're like, they're timeless. I don't know how else to explain it. It's something that's like, it just fucking cool, dude. I don't know, man. Already, that first tab was so aggressive, dude. Oh my God, I'm still like kind of like shaking in shock from it. I'm like, what happened to me? What happened out there? I didn't mean to slurp that in the mic, but it's what it is. It's already been a pretty eventful morning for dabs too. Like, I had to take a dab through some peach tea, which I'll talk about. This stand is not made for this. It's made for one of my taffy collabs, but seems to hold it fine. Trying to find a cool way where we can start offering stands for all of our different dry pieces so they can be displayed appropriately and how they should be. Give me time. I'm doing it. We're doing cool things. It's just everything fucking takes forever, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Damn, dude. All right, so that's the chocolate clubs. We also made some really cool pendants and stuff, too. And fuck, dude, I'm sorry, man, guys. You know, honestly, you already know what it is. I work too much. But yeah, let's look at the Samson collabs, because me and Samson did a really... I'm going to put this on the table, actually. I think it's so heavy. I'm going to... Like, we did a really unique body of work together. So first of all, let's just look at this beautiful, beautiful pumpkin, dude. I don't know if many of you remember. I don't know if you guys all follow me on Instagram, but I made this pumpkin recycler, and it was on the podcast many years ago. 2021 Halloween, maybe, or 2022. Yeah, one of those, I think it was 2022, maybe. I don't know what year it was. You were definitely filming that one, though. It was like pumpkins put together, two real pumpkins. And it was a pumpkin recycler. So if you've been watching for a long time or you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw my actual pumpkin recycler made with real pumpkins. When I posted that recently, I had Samson reach out to me and go, hey, I make pumpkins. He sent me videos of them. He's like, we should make your pumpkin recycler for real. And I was like, let's go, dude. So we planned a day. He came down. And we made this pumpkin recycler, and it's based on the mechanics and layout of a honey jar recycler. This one even has the more modern foot, like the new honey jar recyclers have, this really sharp, black, beveled foot. I mean, this foot is just, it's like, it's so clean and crispy. This is the first time I've ever done square drain lines and uptake. These lines are all square coming down. And then they're beveled off at the top so that the pumpkins look like they're kind of sitting on pedestals. And these shapes are repeating to match the foot, under the joint, under the drain, foot. The stems are chocolate brown and they're all like sculpted and all like sandblasted. So they have that really organic feel to them. But we left the black sections all nice and shiny. Also, too, the drains are a custom in-house dark clear mix where we, like, water down black, the same black in the foot, but make it transparent so you can see function. But, yeah, still having that same dark so it flows with it. And then the bridge that you would normally have on the honey jar with the Marias is a pumpkin vine with a leaf. I mean, come on. How fun is that? And she's just a little shredder, dude. Like, she just rumbles. It's just like a honey jar, but, like, a pumpkin. I don't know. Like, yeah. Thing is sweet. I'm definitely, like, definitely interested to see what people think. It's funny. It's one of those things, like, I made, and I'm like, I want to do this. I want to post it. I was like, but I don't know if anyone's going to want a pumpkin recycler, but maybe someone will be as hyped on it as I am. But it's got a story behind it, and it's based on a specific piece that I did with real pumpkins. And it's just crazy. Like, the color, too. The color in this is a really, really cool orange. It's a mix of dense yellow opal over poppy, then sleeved with clear. It's this crazy out in the sun. It's opalescent, and because we sandblasted it and wiped it with walnut oil, it has this beautiful satin look to it. Yeah. It's just a gorgeous piece. And then me and Samson, like I said, we also did this halo because Samson is very, he's got a wide range of skill sets. He does a lot of different things, but he also does ready work. All these hand-drawn lines through this halo. Like, I wish you guys could see the detail on this in person because there's so many lines. It almost looks like plaid or some shit. But I'm really stoked how this came out. This thing absolutely shreds. And again, the weight on this, just like the chocolate collab. This one is even heavier because the halo is even thicker because I basically like imploded this section of ready in between two layers of or two lines of canary and then a little bit of green in the middle so it matched the same kind of pattern as the foot. This thing shreds though. Love the sound of that too. Man, that tastes crazy. Fucking hey, we've been smoking some hash. Everything's hashy. For science. Yeah, this piece came out super sick. That's a fun one. But what I really want to talk about is this. So Samson has this really crazy collection of antique molds. And he brought down a bunch of them. And I was checking them out. And it's so cool to see the craftsmanship from like a couple hundred years ago. Or even like 70, 80 years ago. Like the quality of these tools folks were using in this country and all over the world. Like to make things. It's like. I often like write off like people almost 200 years ago, but like, oh, they weren't doing anything. They were just like living to 35 and like getting an infection in their toe and dying. Like, I don't know. Like, but it's like the tools and stuff they're using, they're like, they're so simple and maybe a little primitive, but they're so quality. Like, again, the weight to them, these molds were so fucking heavy. So we made these perfume bottle rigs. Now, a lot of people I know growing up on the East Coast, a lot of our family, especially grandparents, would have like antiques in their house and stuff, like especially like milk glass or uranium glass or maybe little vessels and little perfume bottles. It wasn't uncommon to see that. So for me, when I see these, it's a very like nostalgic feel. I feel like I'm looking at an antique, but I essentially am. Because the mold that we use to make these is from 200 years ago. It's from Prague. And was originally a perfume bottle mold. That's what it was used for. But now we did something else with it, you know? But it's crazy to think, too, like, the dude, like, 200 years ago just cranking out perfume bottles in Prague, like, you know, feeding his family and hustling and spent all this time designing. Like, the texture, I wish you guys could see these, like, in person. The texture is, like, so cool, like, the pattern these made. But I wonder if he thought people would be making, like, hash pipes with them in the future. Like there'd be like some guy like in like America. Now you probably America wasn't I mean he probably wasn't yo, he definitely knew about it back then. Dude, yeah, I don't even know. Too stoned already. I'm thinking out loud, but either way I go very philosophical with stuff like this because I'm using a tool that no one's used for over maybe 150 years. It's from a time period and from a place that's completely different than it was. The people who designed the tool are dead. The original person who bought it is dead. For all I know, if we get the mold hot enough, it might release a spirit. I don't know how it works. Either way, the significance of using a tool from a time past to create something more modern and focused on a little bit different function, it's very cool. And this is multiple molds. The ball section is from a pineapple mold, which you can use for all different types of applications. We use it to make it look like the little thing you squeeze to like basically create pressure to spray the perfume out. The joints are handmade glass colored joints with full color downstems. The downstems are welded to the bottom, so it's all one solid piece, not a floating stem. And then obviously the bottom portion is that mold from Prague, 200 year old perfume bottle mold. The perk in it is a single hole, and the hole is facing away from the mouthpiece. So as it sprays, water comes up the side and then actually stacks and doesn't go over till it reaches almost the top because this bottle has a pitch to it. So it's skinnier at the bottom, gets wider at the top. So because of that, the stem is super close to the walls down here and the water's not going past it until about right there. So what happens is you get this function that when you watch it, if you were to get one of these, a transparent one, and yeah, if you watch the video I posted on my page, you'll see it too. You'll see the water stack up and this front part on this side of the stem will go down and then back here will fill up and you'll see bubbles dropping and then like going back into the bottom. Like it does this cool like kind of like this little recycler action. It's very like interesting and it's something that I want to pursue now because I'm like, I could I refine a very small pocket recycler? This could be possible through just playing with the perfume bottles and finding a function I didn't plan for. You know what I mean? So very neat. The white responded super well to mold, because these molds, you got to remember too, were designed for a different type of glass. We're using borosilicate glass. Borosilicate's very hard. It takes a ton of heat and it cools very quickly. The glass that was being used in these molds was very liquidy. It would stay liquid a lot longer, and it actually would fall into those voids and really form a sharp, like almost faceted cut, like, you know, pattern. Whereas these are more of like the whole pattern's there, but it's a little softer. You know, it's not like sharp. Like it feels really nice. Again, I'm over here feeling things. But the fact that we're able to get Boro to look like this is a pretty big achievement in itself. Like Boro doesn't like the type of glass we use, does not like doing molds. The pumpkin was from a mold too. Two different pumpkin molds, antique molds. Yeah. So basically how the pumpkin mold works, I'll explain that real quick before we move on to the next piece I want to talk about. So how the pumpkin mold works is it's like, it looks like a tube with like a, like star points in it kind of. And then you get the glass really hot and you put it into the tube and you puff a little bit. And then the glass presses into those points, and then you suck in and you make it go back together, and then you pull it out of the mold. Then you heat it up and puff in it again, but it has all these indents in it. And when you puff it out, those indents open, and then it's inherently thicker at the indents and thinner on the opening. So when you heat it up, the glass expands on the points in between the indents, giving you more of that like pumpkin shape, because it'll keep the indents while simultaneously expanding out those sections in between. I learned a lot about mold work. I was really grateful for Samson to come down and just bring them all and like let me play with them. I actually got to do some of the molds for this whiskey bottle I'm going to show you guys. I did this one. And like you need assistance doing molds, because the mold work is like, you need someone, especially the molds we're using come from a time where like they had equipment that would like hold the mold, or like a foot pedal thing, or they would have an assistant. Like we don't have all the parts to mold, so we have to have someone basically like holding the mold with gloves, because the molds get like red fucking hot too. So you can only do it so many times before it's too hot to touch. And then it takes like an hour to cool down because the fucking metal is like 3 inches thick, so it retains heat forever. Literally, Samson couldn't even leave the other day because his mold was too hot. He's like, I've been waiting an hour and it's still too hot to even touch. Like it'll burn shit. And I was like, yeah, that's fucking nuts. But yeah, this whiskey bottle was a tough one. I know it doesn't look like it because it's really not. But this was a big mold. This was a large mold to do with a big piece of borosilicate glass. Especially since we were heating it with a torch and not pulling the borosilicate glass out of a crucible. When you're pulling glass out of a crucible, it has a way deeper core temp. The heat penetrated way deeper into the glass, and it's like sustaining that heat longer. It moves longer. It doesn't cool down as quick. When you take a piece of glass that's solid and you bring it into a torch and you heat it up, you can get it all liquidy and hot, but the way it moves and the way it holds and maintains its heat base is totally different than if it comes out of an oven at that temp. So, you know, it's, because we were doing it the way we were doing it was hard to like get the details. So at first I made 3 or 4 other whiskey bottles that are full color. I did a full and calm one, which I still have, but I couldn't get the detail to press into the mold. I couldn't get it hot enough to move that many different colors into each little tiny crevice of the shape of the mold. So I was like, all right, fine. Then I tried this green color and I got a little bit of detail, but the base exploded, because this is a ton of stress to put Boro through. Like, when we put this into the mold and I blow into it and press down and I'm like forming the bottom and getting all these like texture and shape and the writing, it's putting so much stress on the glass that when I take it out of the mold and bring it back to the heat, it'll explode. Like we had a couple like explode and shoot fucking glass everywhere. Like, and then it's just like, okay, sick, cool, let's try again. And like, for sure, this prep too that's exploding, I bought for like this finished prep for about $120 that blew up. So I should have started with clear, but I was like, let's prototype with color. It'll be so sick if it works, dude. Like, but whatever, fuck it. So after the greens failed, and then I was like, all right, we're just going to go into clear now. We have to try to get detail. Cause what was happening was I was getting a nice shape, but we weren't getting detail on like all the writing on it and the patterns. And yeah. So we went in with clear and it ended up working out, but it was still like, it took an hour of like heating it up, going into the mold, puffing. Take it back out, heat up another section, going back in the mold, puffing. Like, you would think you just get the glass hot as fuck, you put it in the mold, close it, and puff in there, and you're like, sick, done, bottle, sick. No, you do that, you take it out, and it looks terrible. You're like, oh, one side of it's bigger than the other. The glass shifted while it was in there. Like, oh, it didn't puff out evenly. Oh, we have no detail at all. How do we get it hot enough so that it wants to go into that part of the mold? Because by the time you put it in the mold cools it down. Because even though the mold's 1,000 degrees, the glass is like needs to be way hotter than that. And the 1,000-degree mold's cooling down the 1,500-degree section of glass. Like, it's just like crazy, like balancing it all. I learned a lot. But this thing fucking rips. I can't believe how well it works. It's very fun. It's novelty. It's, I don't know, it's a very cool piece. But yeah, like, the bottom, let me just turn it like this, yeah. So the bottom has, like, all this texture, like, you'd see on the bottom of, like, a glass bottle, like, even a ketchup bottle. It has, like, the little, like, texture on it, and then the manufacturing label and name. Like, I'm sure if I made a bunch of these, like, someone might sue me, because I'm sure this manufacturer, even if they're not in business anywhere, someone probably owns the name or something. But this is, like, from, like, an old, like, bottle factory where they made all different types of, like, liquor bottles. But this is a hip flask because it's, like, curved on the backside so that it, like, fits nice on your hip when you're walking around. Yeah, it's, like, just if you – I'll post nice pictures of this and then so everyone can see, like, all the texture and stuff in it because it's kind of tough to see it unless you have the right, like, lighting and angle because it's really, like, soft. It's not super, super sharp. But I'm still really stoked how it turned out because you can see it all there. And just like it's a functional whiskey bottle. Got a little bear paw on one side. Stopper. The mouthpiece is right here. I was going to do like a whole like mouthpiece thing or maybe do like a handle on it. But you would never have a handle on a hip flask. So I was like, I don't want to take away from the mold because that's the whole point. So I'm just going to pop a small hole and yeah. And we'll probably put it up on the Sunday sale, or I'll just keep this one. I'm not sure yet. I have to talk to everybody and see what everybody wants to do because there's multiple people involved. There's Samson, then my wife, and then my opinion does not matter. So it's two people I got to figure it out with. And if they're cool or whatever, you know, if everybody's chill, maybe I'll get it for me. But either way, really fun to, like, learn, like, with the molds and stuff. And, like, yeah, isn't it, like, I don't know, seriously, like, thinking about it, like, how crazy is it that, like, stuff that's, like, antiques, like, taking these tools and, like, reusing them? I know that used to be standard practice for at least the last, like, few thousand years, but after the Industrial Revolution, I think a lot of people were more focused on, like, building their own tools or buying new ones, throwing things out. They weren't just, like, handing down tools generation to generation anymore. So at least over the last few generations, we've been more accustomed to getting tools, throwing them out, and technology getting better every year, right? Technology didn't change much for a long time. So for a long time, their molds and tools were passed down to family member or different apprentices for hundreds of years. And to think that some of these molds came from that time period when something was handed down and used by multiple craftsmen is pretty cool. It's not to over-romanticize it all, but I think it makes it really special. Yeah, this is peach iced tea in here, so everyone knows. I was taking dabs through it earlier. It tastes, yes, it does make the weed taste like peaches. Yeah, it was fun. And you could put more water in here, because the water level I was running when I was smoking it with water was, like, probably, like, almost an inch higher. But when you smoke through peach tea, I think it might be the sugar content, it, like, bubbles and stacks way harder, like it's like soapy or something. So I had to run a lower peach tea level than I would water level. So if anyone, I mean, if that information helps anyone, like, you'll have, if you want your bong to function right and you're out of water and you only have peach tea, you're gonna have to use less peach tea to get function properly. Yeah, that's the type of things I figure out here on a daily basis. Information no one needs, no one asked for. It doesn't help anyone, but I have it. Less peach tea than water. That's how you make your rig function if you're smoking through peach tea. I only did that because I wanted people to really understand that it was a whiskey flask. So that's why I put the color there. It really is for Instagram. It's for the short attention span. It's for people who won't read a caption or take time to watch an entire video. They're only going to watch 3 to 4 seconds. I want to capture that you know, them looking at it going, what is that? And then they keep watching. And then eventually they see me doing drugs and, oh, he turned something cool into paraphernalia again. Sick. Like, you know, because, like, there's a lot of people out there that definitely are being like, oh, man, why would you, like, turn such a beautiful piece of glass you made and then make it into a pipe? And it's like, dude, why wouldn't you? That's like, there's on so many, it's so many different things. But on one level, that's just fun for me. Because if I can smoke it, I'm definitely want to try to make it. On a more philosophical level, it's cool. It's almost rebellious, too. It's kind of like a cool, like, art shit to do. Not that I think I'm like some artist or something, or like putting myself on that type of pedestal, but like it just seems like a fucking, it's like spray painting the side of like a building kind of thing. It's like that, but different. It's like I'm going to take this thing that was made for making this something for a very specific purpose, and I'm going to make it like counterculture. I'm going to make it like a black sheep. And I'm going to have it, like, dressed in this traditional thing, like, as a perfume bottle. Like, I don't know. Hundreds of years ago, not even, people would have sculptures through their house that you unscrew the head and it's you drink out of it. They were secret alcoholics. That all everything in the house was a sculpture that was full of alcohol. You know, not everyone. We all have different families. But, like, there's people like that. There was ways people were taking something that was meant to be a nice sculpture and making a way to make it like, oh yeah, you can also get drunk from it. Like, you know, like, so this isn't new, you know, I'm just doing what many folks have done before me. Just doing it my way. It's fun, but I should smoke the perfume bottle though. For real. That should be the next step. Water. Okay. I might have to steal some water from one of these rigs. Oh, yeah. Let's go. So, I was torn with these. I was like, I don't know if I should put a little flared foot on them. But I did that with a clear one, and I'm like, I think it took away from it. It made it look... It still was a perfume bottle, but it was less of this, like... Like, the flared foot one you won't find in an antique store in 30, 40 years, but one of these you might. And they won't know what it is. They'll go... I think it's some sort of perfume or diffuser thing. And some will be like, back in 2020, dude, people were slamming dabs. I know what that is. Like, it's not an antique. Even though it looks like an antique, it's not. It's actually a drug pipe. Yeah, like, that's the thing is, like, I think the flared foot would make it look less like an antique. And I want these to be mistaken for antiques in about 40, 50 years. I would love for these to be accidentally in... like an antique store next to other actual antique glass, you know, not just something that someone made that looks antique-esque. But yeah, let me warm up a nail for this thing. So yeah, I think I want to get like stands for them or something like this, but lower. So it sits like that. So you could like display it at home or something. But like at the same time, like you can lay it on its side and it doesn't spill because the way the ball's set up and the way that it's all welded in, it's one solid piece. So like, you don't need to have it like standing up. Maybe with a nail on it, it'll stand. I can see. Where's? Oh yeah, it's in the fucking jar. I'm done. It's already over. I took one, right? I took one. That's sick. Sick. Yeah, it's gonna be a rough day. I already knew it was. Like this morning when I got up, I just knew it. I just said, self, it's about to be a rough day, bud. But you got this. Let's go. Like. You just feel it. You know when you're tired, you're sore, and you have an unachievable amount of work to accomplish. And you're like, I've already failed today. And I need to still go out there and do 110%. I have a lot of days like that recently. But that just happens when you're trying to... you set your expectations high and try to achieve a lot. You're going to fail a lot. It's just how it goes. It doesn't make it any easier, though, to not like fail all the time. We'll just hold this now like that. That's cool. Now, what about this? No. Good enough. Oh, shit. There it goes. I had to put the ruby pearl marble in there. I need all red. Dude, I'm so classy right now. I'm definitely going to put my pinky out while I hit it. Another thing, too, is, like, I picture this as, like, this could be, like, some sort of, like, discreet, classy... Hash Head Lady's rig where she's like, she's got her makeup kit and the shit's just in there. Of course, oh, you could use the new, I was going to say you'd have to have a nail and all that stuff, but with this, it might work really good on that new Puffco Pixel pen thingy. They have like the adapter you can put onto a 10 mil joint. So you could just like have the pen like hanging off the side of it and just rip it. That way you can rip your pen through some water. Damn, I might have to reach out to them and get one of those just to do a video, because this might be sick for that. Oh yeah, having the stand like that to warm it up? Forget about it, dude. Now we're smoking weed. No, we're not. This is all CGI. Just kidding. They know I'm doing drugs. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't see it like that, though. It's weird. I always say that, and I'll call it drugs, even though I don't think of it like that. I'm just more, like, commenting on the silliness of, like, how we label certain things. You know, we put everything into one basket. I mean, you can definitely smoke too much weed and really, I mean, you can really turn it into a drug. I mean, if someone watched me from far away and didn't know what they were looking at, they'd probably think I was, you know, actually, I'm doing drugs. But either way, you know, some people just smoke a bowl after work and that's just fine. You know, I might be doing it a little, I might be a little extreme. Back in the day, I definitely thought I was more of a mild smoker, but that was a time when people were putting weed into leaf blowers and spraying it in people's faces. So now that most people are just ripping a vape pen, when I bust out a torch and a nail and a Slurpee and I throw a big old scoop on there and a cloud happens, I think people are like, oh, geez, dude, like, that's a lot. Even if they smoke weed, they'll be like, that's a lot. You know, but that's fine. That's fine. I often find that, like, the people who are a lot have a lot to offer, right? You know, that's what it is. I'm going to just talk myself through it. Don't worry that you're weird and a lot. No, I've even told, like, I even told my friends and my wife and friends. I've told my colleagues and my wife recently. I was like, yeah, I probably got, like, 2 more years of dabbing on the internet before, like, I'm too, like, old and it's weird. And then, like, I can come back, but when I come back, I'm going to have to be, like, 65. Like, you can't be, like, you can't be mid-40s or 50s when you come back to, like, it's not novelty or cool when you're, like, middle-aged and dabbing. It's, like, cool when you're either a really old lady or old man, or you're, like, young and upcoming and crushing. But, like, once you get to that age where you're, like, I don't know. I'm just basically, I don't want to convert to cringe. And then one of the people that, like, works with me, or one of the people I collabed with was, like, well, isn't it kind of already like that? And I was like, okay, I see what you're saying. So you already think it's cringe. I was like, well, guess what, buddy? I'm the one selling our damn collabs, all right? So let's go, dude. I'm going to take a dab. I'm going to take 2 more dabs on this piece I made with you, dude. No. A lot of people fucking that I know in the glass scene don't really smoke anymore. They just don't. I don't know what it is. Everyone tells me it's anxiety. Everyone tells me, oh, I just can't enjoy it like I used to. It stresses me out. Like, I get it. But then you get over that. You just go, yep, today I'm stressed out. And I'm not going to blame weed for it. I mean, quit blaming weed, dude. Probably is the weed. I mean, probably is. But don't blame it. Don't blame it. Yeah, but there's a lot of people out there that smoke and it just, honestly, it just doesn't work for them anymore. They either get anxiety or they get really lazy. I get both. And then I just keep going, you know? It's like a test, I feel. Oh, shit, where'd my hash go? Oh, it fell off. It's a test. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get over this anxiety and stress today. Like I've told you guys, like, living life on hard mode, it seems like sometimes just because there's, like, this fog of hash that I have to look through first. But I don't want it the easy way. I want the journey. I want a nice, long, confusing journey. I think that's how you have a good life. But maybe not. Who knows? Beautiful. Don't even care. What? How did I even have this on here? I don't even remember. That's how high I am now. Whoa. Wow. some Rapture, which is basically like grape sour diesel. It's nice. Even nicer through a perfume bottle. Whoa. Those things fucking shred. I'm not like worried about drinking water. It's got a shreddy rumble. You feel it. The texture of the piece in your hand, it's just really, really cool. I can't remember. There's a word that describes like when people like the way things feel. I can't remember what it is though. I'm sure someone out there will leave it in the comments, but yeah. These are fun. We're definitely going to do more. This boy Sam has got like antique Coca-Cola bottles, Sprite bottles, like orange crush bottles that have like orange texture on the top of them. He's got like so much. I'm going to go take a look at his mold collection so I can, because I'd like to build a piece that's like kind of made from a couple different molds so it looks like an antique vase or something, but it's like an internal recycler. But I definitely want to pursue the thing of like making something that could be mistaken in an antique store, but it's actually paraphernalia. Highly functional, though, is what I want to go for. But we'll get there. So many projects. The mold stuff is really going to take off once I get my furnaces set up, because we need to set up furnaces, which we have two of them. We need one more, and then I have to pay for all of it to be put together and set up. And, you know, that's a whole thing. That's just being patient and saving my monies. But there's so many projects, you know. There's so much I want to do with glass. That's why I, like, just keep doing my, making my pieces and work and crushing out drops and just putting it back in and trying to figure out how to get the tools so we can pursue the new projects and bring you guys the coolest art we can. Yeah, man, it's crazy. These collabs really were a lot of, I mean, I did not sleep a lot this past week, and right now I'm in my Sunday cell crush, so like I'm already going into my Sunday cell crush with an empty tank. It's pretty sick. It reminds me of myself a few years ago when the tank was always empty. But man, I'll tell you what, a couple things before I go, I will say, because I started this podcast when I was in the craziest grind ever, taking weekends off now for the most part with my family, like, super sick. Yeah, like, obviously, you make a little less work, so you might make a little less. That's just how it goes. But, like, being able to step away and chill with people for a little bit has been, like, really good. And mushrooms, those help too. Can't even think about work when I'm eating some mushrooms. I'm just looking at how cool everything looks and then appreciating the moment and then waking up the next day feeling like I actually took a vacation or went somewhere, because for a moment, for maybe 6 to 8 hours, my brain was not focused on all these little things that I have to figure out or do or try to achieve. It was just fucking living, just being a human, you know? It was sick. So I've been doing that more. That helps a lot, too. But yeah, being a grown-up's hard, for sure. No one has the perfect formula to really do this shit right. A lot of people will tell you they do, but it's not a one-size-fits-all. We all got different experiences, so. But yeah, it's definitely been sick lately. I've been forcing ourselves to take the weekends just with the kiddo, and we've been forcing ourselves to, like, work on our house a little bit, even if it's as simple as just, like, cleaning our garage or something. Just trying to make an effort to be, like, taking care of our home. Not that we don't take care of our home. We really do. But, like, there's so many things always, if you're a parent or a homeowner, that you're like, fuck, we got to paint that, or we got to finish putting that trim board up, or we, like, there's a lot of half-done things just because we do everything ourselves because we can't really afford to pay someone to do it. It's just how it goes. Shit's expensive. Bear Mountain is everything. We put everything into Bear Mountain. That's our dream and what we want to see succeed. But yeah, I hope you all have a wonderful day. Sunday sale today, the 27th, 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, make sure you sign up for our newsletter at bmsglass.com. If you sign up for that newsletter, you'll get a newsletter every week telling you about our new episode on the podcast. So even if you don't see things on YouTube, because we're kind of like hard to see because I took a dab in the first seconds of it being on, which is kind of no bueno, they don't like that. But we're going to send you an email reminder on Wednesdays that a podcast came out on Sunday. And then, yeah, we have drops that go up on there, and then we also have a Patreon, and on our Patreon we have giveaways, early access to drops, and we have a yearly event we do, a bunch of different things, but much more next year. There's a lot we're trying to work on changing now that, like, you know, we keep growing and life keeps changing, so we want to add some things and change some things so that we can offer even more to folks that want to support us. So yeah, I hope you all have a great day. Definitely got two stoned. I took two dabs. That's it. Two today. That's crazy. I really thought four was on the list. Two is all we got. And that might, I mean, maybe that means that I'm maturing. I don't know. Maybe I'm all grown up. Nope, haven't slept enough. And I will get dizzy if I take another one. So I hope you all have a great day. I'm going to go eat a bagel. This was Everybody Podcast. Later, everybody.